welcome to the Quiet and Strong podcast, especially for introverts. I'm your host, David Hall, and the creator of quietandstrong.com. It's a weekly podcast dedicated to understanding the strengths and needs of introverts. Introversion is not something to fix, but to be embraced. Normally, we'll air each episode on a Monday. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite platform. Leave a review. Tell a friend. Help get the word out there. In my time, I've come across so many introverts that at one time or another thought they were broken. Many of the introvert authors, coaches, speakers, podcasters I speak with and read about felt this way at one time. Something was wrong with them. The good news is they realized they were not broken and really had some great strengths. Unfortunately, there's still too many that think their situation is hopeless and they can't get what they want out of life. And this is why I do what I do. If you are feeling broken, you are not. You may need to come to understand your gifts and also what you need, but this can be done, as has been proved by many others. Also keep in mind that there are many introverts that have not felt this way, that didn't feel broken. But one way or another, we can all benefit from learning from other introverts about their secrets and strategies for success, happiness, energy, and peace. So I was definitely part of that group that felt something was wrong with me. I needed fixing. And I'll say about the time that I learned my introversion couldn't be fixed, I realized it didn't need fixing. I realized introversion is a beautiful thing. I don't need my introversion to be fixed or cured, but rather, I need to understand how I work best and where my strengths truly are. And as you'll hear me say in most intros to the show, introversion is not something to fix, but to be embraced. So, now that you understand that you don't need fixing, do others know this too? Meaning, have you ever had the experience of someone trying to fix you in a way that doesn't incorporate your strengths and needs? I know I have, in many settings and many circumstances. So, when I was in graduate school studying counseling, I took the Kiersey Temperament Sorter. It was a self-assessment of personality designed by David Kiersey. It closely resembles the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator, or MBTI, but there's some significant differences between the two assessments. I later read Please Understand Me Too, the two means it was the second edition, by David Kiersey. And right at the beginning of the book, Kiersey takes on this concept that we don't need fixing, but understanding. I'm going to read a few excerpts from the beginning of this book, which I just absolutely love. He says, "If you do not want what I want, please try not to tell me my want is wrong, or if my beliefs are different from yours, at least pause before you set out to correct them." He also says, "Or if I act or fail to act in the manner of your design for action, please let me be. I do not, for the moment at least, ask you to understand me. That will come only when you're willing to give up trying to change me into a copy of you. Or if my emotion seems less or more intense than yours, given the same circumstances, try not to ask me to feel other than I do." And then the end, the last one. "And one day, perhaps in trying to understand me, you might come to prize my differences, and far from seeking to change me, might preserve and even cherish those differences." Powerful quotes. I love the word cherish here. I need to cherish my differences and also the differences of others. Others need to cherish my differences and the differences of others. So my type is INTJ, or in Kiersey's book calls it the mastermind. I like the sound of mastermind. And just knowing the title, someone can make some assumptions about me. But for it truly to be helpful, I need to dive into what's behind that mastermind label. And again, what are my preferences, strengths, and needs? For example, Kiersey lists that INTJs are head and shoulders above the rest in contingency planning. That's definitely a strength of mine. I work in an environment, sometimes there's limited resources, and often I'm juggling to try to determine what the most efficient use of resources are. Not only am I good at it, but I thoroughly enjoy using my strengths in this way. This has always been a strength of mine, but I have not always fully understood it as a gift. Also, it's important for me to know that I need to contribute in this way. I need to be recognized by others at being good at this, because I know it can be frustrating for people who may not see the big picture in the way that I do. Of course, this doesn't make me better than anyone, but rather understanding allows me to use my gift and allow others to use their gifts that maybe I don't have. By understanding what INTJ means, I may also identify my weaknesses or blind spots. Kiersey states, colleagues may describe INTJs as unemotional and at times cold and dispassionate, when in truth they're merely taking the goals of the institution seriously and continually striving to achieve those goals. Again, something I need to understand and keep in mind so I can make sure I'm understood by others. I don't ever want to come off as cold and dispassionate. And I may need to explain why I made a particular decision. I do care deeply about the work I do and the people I work with. But as an INTJ, I definitely could be misunderstood if I'm not careful. As we read information like this about our own personality, we need to validate if it's true for us. We need to remember, assessments like this are just tools, and there may be some things that don't apply to us. So my wife is my best friend. We've been married a long time, and we are a lot alike, but we're not exactly alike. Again, I need to prize and cherish her differences as she does mine. She has some amazing gifts and strengths, but they're not exactly like mine. I think we've learned this about each other over the years. There are some things that we're going to approach in different ways, and that's great. If we were constantly trying to change or fix each other, we probably wouldn't be as happy as we are. She's a brilliant marketer and loves to help others with their marketing plans and goals, including me. I watch her come alive as she uses her gifts. Not my gifts, but hers. Did I mention she's amazing? She's also my editor, and so if I say anything she doesn't like, she does have the ability to take it out if she doesn't agree. She is amazing. So, have you had the experience of someone trying to fix you? Hopefully, you've had the experience of being seen for who you are. If things are not ideal, they absolutely can get better, and that starts with you gaining a self-awareness. And as you're more self-aware, you can work to use your gifts and help people around you understand your gifts and your needs. So, an instrument like the Kiersey Temperament Sorter or the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator, MBTI, or some people just say Myers-Briggs, can be very helpful. Again, we need to remember these assessments are just tools. And there may be some things that don't apply to us. The assessments don't make us who we are, but they do give us some things to think about. We're all individuals, but these tools can help us see similarities we may have with others and some strategies for success. And even without an assessment, you can pay attention to those things that strengthen you each day and work towards incorporating more activities that strengthen you. Many years ago, I read Now Discover Your Strengths by Marcus Buckingham and Donald Clifton. It came with the StrengthsFinder profile, 34 distinct talents or themes. And the purpose of StrengthsFinder is it gives you your top five strengths, so to speak. And that's where your focus should be, what your strengths are, and not so much on your weaknesses. And as Marcus Buckingham said, you grow most in your areas of greatest strength. You will improve the most, be the most creative, be the most inquisitive, and bounce back the fastest in those areas where you have already shown some natural advantage over everyone else, your strengths. This doesn't mean you should ignore your weaknesses. It just means you'll grow most where you're already strong. That's the key. You're going to grow exponentially in the areas where you're strong. We all have to deal with our weaknesses, but the focus should be on our strengths. So I became certified in giving this training. It's now called Clifton Strengths. And I found that using the Myers-Briggs and also Clifton Strengths together can be very helpful to get at some different strengths. I'll review my top five for Clifton Strengths, and I'll give some brief explanations if you're not familiar with it. I'll also review some gifts of others that I don't have, or at least not in the same way. So my top five is connectedness. I do believe that we're all connected, and I see connections and patterns everywhere with people and things. My other is learner. I'm always learning, and I'm always working to improve. Analytical. I look for reasons and causes. I'm able to see all the factors in a situation. Ideation is my fourth. My ideas never stop. And I really thrive on coming up with new and original thoughts. Intellection. Again, introversion is not called out in this assessment, but intellection is a strength where I am very introspective and I look for intellectual discussions. And I think that's part of being an introvert. These are strengths of mine, and I didn't always understand that. Looking back, they've always been strengths. There's many times in my life where I didn't fully utilize them. I now know to be my best and to do meaningful work, I need to use them on a regular basis. So, being both a participant first and then a trainer, I learned much from hearing others describe their strengths. One such experience, I was sitting in a group with someone that had empathy in their top five. According to Clifton Strengths, here's the description for someone high in empathy. You can sense the emotions of those around you. You can feel what they're feeling as though their feelings are your own. Intuitively, you're able to see the world through their eyes and share their perspective. As she spoke, I realized she had a gift that I naturally did not. Why? I don't know. I realized I don't feel others' feelings naturally as she does. And on this assessment, empathy described in this way was at the bottom of my list. Now, before you judge me, I know you are, I do care deeply about others. As in my strengths for connectedness, I see that we're all connected. But instead of feeling, I use my gifts to imagine or put myself into another's shoes to try to get a sense of what they're going through. And no amount of fixing would change the different ways that we empathize with people. This person is going to naturally sense the feelings of others, and I'm going to use my imagination as I care for people. Neither is right or wrong. But I need to understand how I do this and how someone else might be different. There are many more strengths. You know, the focus is on the top five, but it's possible to get all 34. At the bottom of my list, along with empathy, is something called WOO, W-O-O. WOO stands for winning others over. You enjoy the challenge of meeting new people and getting them to like you. Strangers are rarely intimidating to you. So this sounds kind of like extrovert to me. You know, as an introvert, I do win people over, but it's probably more gradual than it would be for someone who has this strength called woo. And I don't need to be jealous, but I just need to understand how I best go about things. There are many others. Again, there's 34 altogether, such as someone with the gift of or strength of communication is maybe a gifted storyteller, or the maximizer has a great gift for seeing how things can be their very best, or the activator must get things done and must get things going right away, and many others. Again, it's something that I highly recommend. You know, working in a group setting can be very beneficial by hearing other people describe their strengths, but also having you articulate your strengths to somebody else. So, or maybe it might be helpful to work with a coach. I've had some amazing coaches and therapists on this show, and I've been inspired by them, and I would be coached by any of them. I did have a fantastic experience as I was involved in this Strengths Quest, now Clifton Strengths Work. I had a coach for a few sessions, and this coach really saw me for who I was, and she helped me talk about the strengths and gifts that I have. She was not trying to fix me. That's what we need as humans, to be seen and understood, not fixed. Even if you're not a coach, you can bring this to those in your life, whether you're a supervisor, a parent, co-worker, a spouse or partner, or many other relationships. The experience of I see you from another is magical. It's inspiring. It's powerful. Of course, this doesn't mean that we can't get better. But again, we improve by leaps and bounds when we are getting better by understanding ourselves and not trying to be someone that we're not. Or not trying to force or coerce someone into being something they're not. We don't need fixing, but we need understanding, both for ourselves and for others. So, I love this work that Marcus Buckingham was involved with starting. And I'm excited for Marcus Buckingham's next book. It's called Love and Work. It's coming out very soon. And I'm attending a series of webinars and in anticipation of the book. It's along the same lines of living and working within your strengths. In a webinar the other day, he made a point that really hit me. It was, as far as work, he said, we should be more concerned with the outcomes that need to be achieved and not necessarily the way in which things are accomplished. Help others work in their strengths. You know, I've seen people with very similar jobs be very successful, but using different methods. We need to allow for that. And again, cherish others and not try to change them into something they are not. I need to be my best, not your best. And just to close, I want to repeat one of the quotes from David Kiersey's Please Understand Me Too. And one day, perhaps, in trying to understand me, you might come to prize my differences, and far from seeking to change me, might preserve and even cherish those differences. Thank you so much for joining me. I look forward to further connecting with you. Reach out at david@quietandstrong.com. Check out the website, quietandstrong.com. I'll add social media channels to the show notes. Send me topics or guests you'd like to see on the show. There's so many great things about being an introvert. We need those to be understood. Get to know your introverted strengths and needs and be strong.